Acts chapter 10. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Be ready because we will be in the Bible. We're not going to have it up on the screens. And so you will need to follow along in your Bible. How many here... today's message is titled, Are You Prejudiced? Are You Prejudiced? Because that's really what this chapter is all about, is people that are prejudiced. So how many here say, I'm prejudiced to one degree or another? Are you willing to raise your hand? Like some of you go, I ain't even getting up near that. Come on, it doesn't mean prejudiced against color. Yes, it does. I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. How many think, okay, you know what? I'm prejudiced to one degree or another. Yes, I am prejudiced. I'll tell you, you know, when I see my, because I know I'm prejudiced. I never thought I was, to be quite honest with you. Living in the South, when we moved from Ohio to North Carolina in 87, my wife and I, and we went into the South, that's when I really seen prejudiced whites against blacks in 87. My first incident was where I was working with a guy. His name was Jerry. I think I shared this with you before, and he's a black guy. And actually, if you listen to Ken Ham, he's just a really, really dark brown guy. And I'm just a really, really light brown guy. Amen? And so, because we all come from Adam and Eve, there's no difference in any of us. We are all one. But so at any rate, it was after work, and I said, Jerry, hey, let's go out and after work and just kind of unwind. He goes, okay. So we go out, and we stop at this place, and I go, hey, come on, let's go in here. And he goes, nah, I don't think that's a good idea. And I go, what do you mean it's not a good idea? At the time, I didn't know Jesus, so I drank. And we were going in to have a beer, and I said, come on, man, let's just go in and get a cold one. It's been a long, hot day. I mean, in the South, every day is a long, hot day. And the humidity is always really high. Like today, they would be throwing a party just because it's not as humid today for them. And I said, let's go in. He said, no, I can't do that. And I go, come on, man, what? Because I'm slow sometimes, and I didn't get it. And finally, he went, all right, I'll go in with you. And as soon as we walked in, I kid you not, the music stopped. Just like in the movies. You ever see in the movies when somebody walks in and everything stops and everybody turns and stares? That's what happened. And for the first time in my life, I caught a hold of prejudice and how it really felt to be on the other side for the first time. And so when it comes to color, I am not prejudiced at all. I can assure you, I am not. Nowhere near it, man, nowhere near it. But here's where my prejudice shines through, if you will. When I have an issue and I have to call the manufacturer to fix it, say for a printer, computer, phone, anything like that, right? And I call and it's like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I can help. And I'm going, give me an American, right? So my prejudice, is that being prejudiced? Yeah, it is. Because you know what? This person can help me just as well as an American can. The problem is, I don't have the patience for them. The problem is, immediately I'm thinking, man, all these jobs that got shipped overseas and all the Americans that are out of work. You see how it starts feeding it? And I don't want to be that way. And then I got to say, Lord, forgive me for that. Because you know what? I need to be praying for their salvation. I need to be praying for them. I need to... But man, that's hard. How many go through that? Thank you, Jesus. I am not alone. It makes it tough. Then what about the latest with Trayvon Martin and it was Trayvon and Zimmerman? Did that outrage anybody besides me? Completely outraged me. There was no racism at all in that whole thing. But boy, did our country blow it up, didn't they? The media blew it up. Truth started coming out. And all of a sudden you see that there was complete racism there. And then just a couple of weeks ago, there was a college student that came over from Australia, and he was in Oklahoma. How many remember reading about that? And three young black kids said, you know what? I'm bored, And they didn't have a parent to say, go pull weeds, but they did have a gun, and they said, let's go kill somebody today. I'm bored, let's go kill somebody today. And they got in the car and they drove out, and the first one they seen was this guy jogging, and they pulled up behind him, shot him in the back, and he died. And when the police got him, got to three, they asked him, they said, why did you do it? And the one teenager said, we were bored. Well, why did you pick him out? We hate white people. The prejudice. Who do we blame for that? I mean, who do we blame for the prejudice that goes on in our country? Number one, I think we blame sin. You know, people believe what they're taught. And unfortunately, less and less people are willing to investigate anything else. And so what happens is when we're prejudiced, we start stereotyping, don't we? We see a guy coming up in a biker suit, and he's all leather and got the shades on and maybe some facial hair, and immediately, and I know this because when I ride, and I ride all across the country on my motorcycle, and when I ride, that's what I wear. Full black chaps, black leather coat, sunglasses, a bandana, tied off. Obviously, I have my goatee. Sometimes I'm clean shaven, sometimes I'm not. You know, I'm on a bike. Who cares if I'm clean shaven? I'm out for a ride somewhere, right? And so I'll stop and I'll pull and I'll go into a store. And when I go into the store, there are times where people go, and they'll walk out around me. And they look at me and I'm going, I'm a pastor. I'm not going to hurt you. I'll tell you about Jesus. But I've been stereotyped. And there's a prejudice there because they walk away from me. And so that's what's happening here in the book of Acts. There is prejudice here. What's happening is Peter is telling the Jews believe that only they can be saved and the Gentiles can't. Why? Because you're a Gentile. How many here is Gentile? Okay, some of you are going, I don't know. How many here is Jewish? Okay, then every one of you here are Gentile. Because there's only two types of people, either the Jews or the Gentiles. And the Gentiles started back with Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant. That's when the Jews started. And anybody that was in the line with Abraham was a Jew. And anybody that wasn't was a Gentile. And so if you're not Jewish, you are Gentile. So how many here is Gentile? There you go. See, some of you still don't want to play. All right. Let's look here in chapter 10, Acts chapter 10. We're going to buzz through 10 and into 11 and hopefully get out of here before 2 o'clock. Okay. All right. How many first-time visitors today? Raise your hand. Come on. I'm not going to embarrass you. Amen. Give them a hand for being here. All right. Really, we won't stay until 2. 2:30 maybe, but not 2. All right. And those that brought them going, he's kidding. All right. Hey, last week was good. Amen. We got out of here in what? Early. Don't ever count on that every Sunday. All right. Acts chapter 10. 10:1. We're going to look at Cornelius. How many remember 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks ago when I preached on religion versus relationship? 2 weeks ago? Okay. We have a beautiful example right here of religion versus relationship. Because, you know, so many people are religious. There are a lot of religious zealots walking around today. But there's not a whole lot that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now you may know Jesus as in the Bible, and you might go, hey, you know, for example, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who is Catholic. Now, listen, before we go any farther, I am not beating up on anybody. I'm simply sharing an event that happened in my life last week. All right? So I was talking to a friend of mine. His name's Dan. And, man, he is a super, 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 super nice guy. And we were talking, and we started talking about church. Now, he always asked me about church. He knows I don't line up with him. He knows where I stand. He knows how I feel. But he always wants to ask me about church. I always end up hurting his feelings. And then I leave and he pouts a little bit. But then he comes back and we're good friends and we go on, right? Amen. That's how it's supposed to be. And okay, we could do without the pouting. And so we were talking about praying, and he said, I pray to Mary all the time. And I go, whoa, hold up. Let's talk about this for a second. And he goes, I know you don't agree. And I go, let me ask you a question before you jump to conclusions. He goes, I'm not jumping to conclusions. You already told me you didn't agree. I said, all right, let me ask my question. Where in the Bible does it say to pray to Mary? Just show me one place in the Bible where it says to pray to Mary. And if you can show me that, I won't bother you with any more. As a matter of fact, I'll even change my mind on where I stand. And he said, well, do you remember when Mary told Jesus to make the wine? I said, yeah. And that just shows Jesus listens to her. And so therefore we know that we're going to pray to Mary because Mary is over Jesus. And I go, hold on a minute. You're going to take one incident in the Bible and you're going to base your whole life on that stand. And I said, is there any place in the Bible where it tells you to pray to Mary? No. Is there any place in the Bible where it says to pray to Jesus? Yes. It says, the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the Son Jesus. And so I said, why would you pray to Mary if the Bible clearly tells you to pray to Jesus, not Mary? Well, because it's a tradition. I go, oh. So here we're talking about religious traditions then that actually don't line up scripturally. And he said, John, I think it's time for you to leave. And I said, no problem, man. We shook hands, I left, and we were good. So we see there's a lot of religion that goes on, a lot of religious zealots. But where's the relationship? Here's another religious zealot. Let's look here in 10:1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Now, here's what happens. The centurion, the reason he is called, anybody know why he's called centurion? You don't answer, just raise your hand. Okay, he's called a centurion because he is the leader over 100 men. Oh, how many just said a light came on? Come on, work with me today. Yeah, there you go. He's a leader over 100 men, so that's why he's called the centurion. And obviously it's of an Italian regiment, so he's an Italian leader of 100 men. Now, look how he is described here. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Here we have a centurion who is very religious. What's happening is here, though, is he is praying. He has given up on idols because there are a lot of false idols around him. He's given up on them, and he's looking at Judaism, and he's going, wow, you know what? Judaism, and he says, I their God's got to be the God. We've seen miracles. We've seen all this happen. And so he starts following Judaism. But he doesn't have a relationship yet because nobody shared Jesus with him. So he's religious and he's sharing it. But he's praying always and he's seeking always. And God hears his prayer. So all of a sudden now we have a religious zealot, much like Paul was, and God hears his prayer. Now, in the same time that this is going on, we have Peter. Peter is very prejudiced. And you go, but Peter's a man of God. But he's very prejudiced. Because he thinks only Jews can be saved. Gentiles, you know what Gentiles are? By the way, who's a Gentile? Okay, according to Peter, you are a dog. Now, how many appreciate me calling you a dog? Some are like, you got me. Nobody appreciates being called a dog, but that's what Peter and the other Jews called them. They called them dogs because they were less than them, and so there was no respect for a Gentile. And therefore, Peter says, surely God's not opened the door up for a Gentile to be saved. They're dogs. They're subpar. And by the way, if they do want to get saved, they got to become Jews, and the first thing you got to do is get circumcised, and the next thing they got to do is follow all these rules, and they go from 10 commandments. By the way, the Jews went from 10 commandments and they put on another 603 commandments because Jews had 613 commandments that they followed. Really? How many love the freedom in Christ that we have that we don't have to follow the law anymore? Good gracious. Okay, some of you don't care. Peter says, listen, you want to be a Jew, you want to be saved, you got to be a Jew. And God's about to show him, wait a minute. This is open to all people. Right here, guys, listen. If you're a Gentile, this is the moment that opportunity was open for you to get to heaven. If this moment had not happened, you and I had no chance of getting into heaven. Think about that for a minute. Everybody in this room is here because of this moment, God's grace, and God showed it right here. Verse 9. What happens in 9 through 16 is God shows Peter a vision. And you got to remember, part of their law was you couldn't eat pork. Matter of fact, you don't even touch pigs. You couldn't eat shelled fish. You can't eat bottom feeders. You can't eat... How many like catfish? Man, I love catfish. Couldn't eat catfish. How many like shrimp? Oh, yeah. Couldn't eat shrimp. You know why? Because they were shelled fish. How many like pork? How many like ham? Yeah, well, you couldn't have ham because that was a split hoof, and you couldn't have anything from a split hoof. All these rules, and then all of a sudden, God shows Peter a vision. Look here in 12. Verse 12, 10, 12. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, being Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." Because to them, pork was common or unclean. Shellfish was common or unclean. Verse 15. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. And you go, what's the significance of that? Because while God is working on the centurion leader, God is working on Peter over here. The leader over here is the centurion leader. And God is about to bring them together and have a crash, if you will, a spiritual enlightening that's going to happen. Because what's going to happen is the centurion is going to get to know Jesus Christ personally, and Peter is going to get rid of his prejudice. Because God says, listen, what I've called clean, don't you call unclean. And God is working. Listen, I want you to know that as we go through life and we walk through life, God prepares you, but he needs obedience. Listen, Peter did immediately what God told him to do. The centurion leader immediately did what God told him to do. And what happens is when we do what we're told to do, we change lives. Amen? But when we fail to be obedient, then people suffer. It's just what happens. And so we see here God is preparing Peter, and he's preparing the centurion religious zealot, if you will. And so 12, 17 through 23, Peter is called to go to Caesarea. So God has shown a vision to him, prepared him for it, and now he's sending him out. And then in 24 through 33, Peter meets Cornelius, the religious leader. So now God prepared it, and now he's brought it together. It's what we call a divine meeting. Look here in 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Now listen, guys, you have to listen to this because this is absolutely crucial. This is Peter sharing with Cornelius how to get to heaven. How many here like the idea of going to heaven? Amen. I'm going to tell you what. And let me just say this. Not only do I like the idea, but I am praying for the day that Jesus returns. Listen, Jesus could return before I finish this set. Okay, I'm still here. I'm ready. I'm ready to go up. I'm ready to be with Jesus. The sin of the world, the sin of our governments, the sin of just the sin that is just permeating our society is just exhausting. Amen? Just takes my breath away. Sometimes it's so difficult, and I say, Lord, I'm ready. Come now. You know, but even Paul said that there are people dying and going to hell. Even so, that people are dying and going to hell, even so, Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Paul was in the same thing. Did I say Peter? I meant Paul. Paul was in the same situation when he said, even so, come quickly. So here Peter is sharing the gospel with Cornelius. In 35, he says, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. That's with his baptism. We've seen that. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, which they killed by hanging on a tree. He said, listen, we're witnesses of all the miracles Jesus did. We're witnesses of Jesus being the Son of God. We are witnesses of the resurrection. We are witnesses of the cross and the beating. We witnessed everything, and we're going to tell you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and without him you will not go to heaven. Without surrendering your life to him, you will not go to heaven. Without being a child of his, you will not go to heaven. Without him being your Savior, you will not go to heaven. Now, you can be a religious zealot all you want, just like Cornelius was, but he wasn't going to heaven up until, well, in just a minute. Look here. Verse 40. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. If you are not forgiven of your sins, you can't go to heaven. Jesus had to die on the cross, the perfect Savior, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb, unblemished, without sin, had to die on the cross for you and me. Because of that death, he bought you and me. Now, he owns everybody because he died for the entire world. But not everybody's going to heaven. And you go, well, hey, you know what? I believe in God. Well, the centurion believed in God, but he wasn't going to heaven. That's why God sent Peter to the centurion, so that the centurion would know that he was going to heaven. And some of you sitting here today, you go, you know what? I think I'm going to heaven. I feel like I'm going to heaven. You know, I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven. Good doesn't get you to heaven. Being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. Listen, it's through the remission of sins through Jesus Christ that gets you to heaven. Or you could be going, well, hey, I'm a good person, and I've asked this so many times, and you guys have heard this, and I'll say, oh, really? So what makes you good? Well, I haven't killed anybody. Nice plumb line. All right, I'm good because there's no murder yet, and then... No, if you sin, you're going to hell. How many here have sinned? You like how I've got you all volunteered into this today? So therefore, if everyone here has sinned, you are a sinner. Everybody needs forgiveness for their sins. Everybody. And it's only through Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I'll get to heaven on my own. No, you won't. No, you won't. Without Jesus, you're nothing. You can do nothing. Isn't that what the Bible says? Without him, for without him, we can do nothing. And so Peter is sitting here and he's saying, listen, you need remission of sin. You need forgiveness. And so after he shares the salvation message, after he tells them how Jesus loved them and died for him, and then they received Christ as their Savior, they were what we called born again. And we see this in John chapter 3. So if you go, I'm not born again, look in John chapter 3. If you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. You can't see the Father. So then he goes on to verse 44. And he says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Here's what happens. Peter preaches truth. The people believed what they heard. Romans 10:9-10, if you believe with your heart They believed. And then they received Christ as their Savior. Guys, I think, number one, our pride gets in the way. Number two, our prejudice gets in the way. Well, how can a murderer go to heaven? Are you going to tell me that if Hitler would have asked for forgiveness on his deathbed, that he would have went to heaven after he killed all those people? Are you ready? Yes. Are you going to tell me that a rapist and a murderer and these guys who are on death row, if they just ask Jesus to be their Savior, they're going to go to heaven no matter what they've done? Yes. Well, I'm way better than them. That's what's in the way. Because God says, listen, it's not about what you've done or what you have not done. It's about the internal. It's about in your heart when you say, well, I'm better than them because I haven't done any of that. God says, wow, you know what? You're so full of yourself, there's no room for me. It's that remission of sin when you finally reach the point and you go, oh God, I'm a sinner. I have missed the mark. I have failed in doing what you've told me to do. That's what sin is. It's just missing the mark of God. God says, I want you to hold this level and you come in somewhere around here. That means you're not perfect. How many have ever told a lie? How many ever told a lie and got caught? How many have ever lusted after somebody? How many have ever, I mean, listen, let's look at the sin that you have in your heart. It's not because you're a bad person, it's because you're a sinner. And Jesus says, Peter's telling Cornelius, listen, without the forgiveness of sins because of what you've done, you need a Savior, you need forgiven, and only Jesus can forgive you. By the way, we don't sin against other people, we sin against God. And when pride gets out of your life and you finally see the point where you go, you know what? I can't get to heaven. I'm on my own. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe I need to repent. I believe that without the gift of salvation, there is no way to heaven. Until you come to that point, you'll never get to heaven because it's not about you. And so Peter's making that very clear because Cornelius was a religious zealot. He was doing everything right, but he missed Jesus. And so therefore, it was wrong. It's right to do right, but that's not what gets you to heaven. So then let's look here in verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, that would be the Jews, believed. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they had heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now listen, the speaking of tongues is not gibberish. It is a known language, and it is what showed that they knew, because this is how we know that they were speaking in tongues, because they were magnifying God. They were speaking a known language. And listen, you don't magnify God because you're not a Christian. And until you're saved and you know Jesus as your Savior, you won't magnify God. Why? Because you are spiritually discerned or spiritually ignorant. You don't know God. And that's the relationship that we're talking about. And so when he says they spoke in tongues, they didn't speak gibberish. They weren't all bouncing around and shakalaka boom. They were speaking they were Gentiles, so they were probably speaking in their language, or they could have been speaking in the Jewish language. And that's what would have shocked the Jews, going, whoa, that we understand what they're saying and they're praising God. They were speaking in tongue, which is just another language. And the reason that they did it, and listen, not all people today that get saved are going to speak in tongue. The reason that was happening back here in this day is because it was proof that they were saved, and it was at the time where they were building the church. The church was literally the church is starting right here, the church of God, not the building itself. And so it was proof that they were saved. And they were speaking in tongues magnifying God. Then Peter answered in 47, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Listen, Peter goes, oh my goodness, God has just opened a door and allowed the Gentiles to be saved. This is amazing. And he believed they were saved because they were magnifying God, so therefore then they got baptized. Well, Peter goes under some scrutiny by his friends in chapter 11. And so in chapter 11, he starts talking and they're getting on him about it. And he goes, oh, hold on a minute. Let me tell you what happened. And so in chapter 11, he repeats what happened in chapter 10, 9 through 16. He repeats again what happened. He's sharing how God had shown him this vision. And God made it clear that the gospel was for everybody. And then look down here in 17. 11, 17. He says, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, see, because they were looking at that gift as proof, who was I that I could withstand God? God's going to do things that don't line up with us all the time, amen? Because what do? We take God, much like these tissues here, we take God, and we have all these tissues right here. And let's just pretend for a moment that this is God. So we have God here, and then we go, God, you that's where you fit, and that's where you stay. Isn't that what we do with God? We shove him in a box because we don't believe he can do anything. Oh, God couldn't do that. Why? Because I don't believe it. That holds water like a strainer, doesn't it? But that's what we do. We take God, we shove him in a box, and we go, okay, that's where we're comfortable with God in this box. And therefore, as long as God stays in the realm of what we believe because he's staying in this box, that's a good thing. Lord forbid that he should get out of the box and do a miracle. Lord forbid that he should get out of a box and change somebody's life. Lord forbid he should do something that we are uncomfortable with. And that's what Peter was saying. Man, God just did something amazing. He saved the Gentiles. Get how big this is. And he goes, I seen it. And I came to the realization, who am I to stand against God? Who am I to stop God from what God's going to do? And I praise God he saved the Gentiles. Amen. And so verse 18. He says, when they heard these things, they became silent. And they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, oh, you got religion. I'm not saying you're not religious. What I'm saying is, if you've not surrendered your life or given your life to Christ and allow him to become Lord of your life, become your Savior, then you have religion, which avails to nothing. I'm not slamming your religion. I'm just saying, without Jesus Christ, it is worthless. Without Jesus Christ, you don't go to heaven. You could be like the centurion. Listen, you can give your money. You can pray. You can do the little hoopla dance. You can do whatever you want to do. But if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's just tingling brass cymbals. You're just making noise. You're clanging. You're annoying. Not literally, but to God. Because without Christ, you don't go to heaven. The centurion got that. Peter grabbed that. So now here's my question for you. Did you grab it? If I were to ask this simple question to you today, that if you were to die right now, I mean, God forbid, but if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Are you 100% sure of that? You know, it's so funny. I hear people who go, well, you know, I switched from Christianity to Muslim because that was it. You never had Christianity. You cannot meet the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and then deny His existence. There is no way. And so my question is, would you go to heaven? You're 100% sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. If the answer is yes, praise Jesus. If the answer is no, let me help you with that. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven except through me. That's what Jesus says. Actually, he says, nobody gets to the Father except through me. That means you have to acknowledge he's the Son of God. You have to acknowledge that he died on the cross for your sins. You have to acknowledge you're a sinner. You have to acknowledge that you need to repent. And then you have to acknowledge that Jesus is the only way. If you don't do that, you don't go to heaven. It's not what Pastor John says. It's what the Bible says. It's clearly in here. And if you have any questions, I would love to let you talk to Tim. He'll answer them, or Kevin, and he'll answer them. All right, I'll answer them too. But without Jesus, you're not going to heaven. That's just bottom line. It doesn't matter what you do or how good you do it. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how big you are, how little you are. It doesn't matter male or female. It doesn't matter whether you're the daughter or the parent or the son or the parent. It doesn't matter if you're an aunt or an uncle. It doesn't matter if you're a cousin. It doesn't matter what you are. The Bible is very clear that without Jesus, you don't go to heaven. So I just want to give you an opportunity right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And this is for you, because, you know, for me, I'm going to heaven. For me, I already know that I'm saved, 100% sure. As a matter of fact, I know that I'm so saved that I could swing over hell on a cornstalk singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I know I'm that saved. I just want you to know. I want you to just look in your heart right now. And if you're not sure, then you pray this prayer if you want to receive Christ as your Savior. And it's that simple. The words don't save you. It's your heart belief that saves you. You believing that Jesus is the Son of God. The words, what we're doing now, is just kind of a map to guide you through the process. If you're sitting here today and you go, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and today I want to surrender my life to Him, then you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize that I cannot be good enough to get to heaven. I realize that my works are in vain without a belief in You. Today I realize, Jesus, that You died on the cross for my sin. And right now, Jesus, I ask for forgiveness of all my sins. I ask You to wash me white as snow. Jesus, right now I ask You to be my Savior, my Lord. And it's Your holy, precious name that I pray these things. Amen.